Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line with us, he was at the scene of the crime last night, Al, for theathletic.com. One of the best around on basketball. Derek Bodner's with us. Hi, Derek.
Good morning.
Was it any less ugly up close than it was watching it on TV back here in Philly?
No, it was pretty ugly up close. It seemed like in the third quarter and the early fourth, they kind of turned around their malaise a little bit in the first half, reestablished control, and then that 21-0 fourth quarter one was pretty ugly.
Sure. John Johnson has informed me that Orlando scoring 21 consecutive points is unthinkable in the NBA. Do you agree with that?
I would guess it does not happen very often, yeah.
So what happened? You were there, Derek. What the hell happened during this collapse in the fourth quarter by the Sixers?
You know, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with there's just no familiarity between them at all. They looked like they hadn't ever played together. They looked like Jimmy Butler didn't really know the playbook all that well. Wilson Chandler doesn't really know the playbook all that well, having missed all that time. You still see him running around at times where he doesn't know where to be on the court. Their offense looked as vanilla and as basic as we've seen in quite some time, and Orlando made a lot of shots. It was, to me, the biggest takeaway. As much as they looked like strangers offensively, they just did not defend at a high level. And against the Orlando Magic, I mean, that's a team you should be able to beat even new. It was certainly a very bad loss.
Well, Jimmy is a great defender, Jimmy Butler, right, Derek? Did you see that last night?
You know, I thought he was okay defensively. Like, you could see him fighting through screens, fighting through pick and rolls. I thought he was okay. I don't think he was necessarily the problem.
All right. Well, then let's go back to the beginning, because he had not really worked with the team. They had just signed him. Did he seem – John Johnson was saying that he thought that Embiid very early in that game wanted to establish that he's still the number one star. Did you see that alpha male thing going on there, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, I think he came out and he played it well. He was aggressive. You know, clearly those three made first threes helped in the first couple of minutes. He was very aggressive, and you can read in the little things like when they ran out of the tunnel, Jimmy Butler was the second last one to run out of the tunnel, and Embiid was the last one. Like, I think there's a clear pecking order here. But I think he came out and he had some open looks and he drilled it. He played very well. The issue is he went like 2 for 15 the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And if you want to look for a reason they lost, that was a big part of it.
Well, then why did he keep shooting if he couldn't hit anything, Derek?
Oh, Joel's going to get his shots. I mean, that's always going to happen. That's where they have their biggest advantage night in and night out. I don't have a problem with him continuing to get shots throughout the game. He's got to convert more of them. You know, he struggled on both ends, really, outside of that first part of the first quarter. Vucevic was, you know, he was a monster at times last night. And I thought, if you want to get into where their strategy might have failed them, you know, I think they maybe switched a few too many pick and rolls, left some mismatches against Vucevic. He was very good. Joel struggled. Joel will be fine.
All right, Derek, I'm about to ask you the most important question of this conversation. It means a lot to everybody in this studio and even people on the other side of the building. All right, Derek? Should I blame the coach for not strategizing better in the fourth quarter so that the Sixers could stem the tide? Did the coach let me down in the fourth quarter last night?
I will always go to, I think Joel Embiid during that run was about 1 for 5 with a turnover. I largely go to players. I think last night was more about the players than the coach.
Damn, that's the wrong answer, Bodner. Spike Eskin came out earlier and did not blame the coach. We were hoping you would. He really likes you. Anyway, let's go to a more general study of Jimmy Butler right now, Derek. Derek, we know his history in Chicago and Minnesota. What are we going to see here? More of the same? How do you sense he will blend with this group of people in this city?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. You know, Chicago, towards the end of his run, there was sort of like this veteran versus younger players divide. It was really a toxic locker room. Minnesota turned quicker than I think anybody would have expected. I think everybody saw he would walk into there, and that would be a match made in heaven. He's back with Tom Thibodeau. Got some real young talent. They even played well, you know, last year, especially towards the end. When he came back, they were able to overcome that. So I think everyone expected that to be a good fit for him. You know, I think in terms of personality, I think he and Embiid will get along real well. Like, I think they're made very similar to each other in how they compete on the court. The question's always going to come, you know, I don't think anybody thinks Jimmy Butler's intentions are bad. I think the way he goes about it can be overbearing. And the question is, do they have somebody in that locker room who's maybe a strong enough personality where the locker room, you know, takes after Joel instead of takes after Jimmy Butler? I think that's really going to define the trade. You know, we can sit here and talk about Jimmy Butler. Does he fit with Ben Simmons? Does he fit with Joel Embiid? I think really as long as they get along on the court and as long as there is cohesiveness in that locker room, then they will be fine. It is a risk. And I think if this was something where you gave up more in the trade, I'd be more concerned about that risk. But it is something you want to, you know, basically they have to prevent Jimmy Butler's worst instincts from taking control of the team. You know, like I said, I think a lot of that's going to come down to Brett Brown, but I think a lot of that's going to come down to Joel Embiid and being kind of the spiritual leader in that locker room as well.
It's a great explanation. One more, Derek. Can you analyze for us what's going on with Ben Simmons? Ben had another bad night. He hasn't played well for the better part of this month so far. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, he is, first of all, I think he's going to have the toughest adjustment playing alongside and next to Ben Simmons. I think it was an adjustment he was always going to have to make, though. I think they needed to have that half-court shot creator and that real pick-and-roll guy to that mix. You know, he needs to learn how to play off the ball in the half court a little bit better. He needs to use screens, get into post position, get into mismatches, and really attack in that manner. He has been a little bit tentative at times in the half court so far this year. I think teams have gotten a little bit better at playing to his weaknesses and taking away his strengths. You know, he is, to me, still a really important piece. He's a really good defender, can push in transition, and he's had at times this year where he's been aggressive attacking the rim and even willing to get to the free throw line, which at times he looked like he was hesitant to do last year. He is going to eventually need that jump shot to really unlock his full potential. And I think right now he's struggling at times to learn how to navigate without that.
Does Derek Podner know his basketball other than that one bad answer about the coach? We loved it, Derek. Derek, you're the best. TheAthletic.com. This guy knows what he's doing there. Derek, thank you as always, my friend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.